Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Welcome to another episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. So for this episode, I'm actually going to be sharing a replay of my first LinkedIn Live that I did. So this happened a few weeks ago. I got Jarrett Thomas, a friend of mine. He's with iPullRank. And we became friends over LinkedIn, and then I had him on my podcast, and we've stayed in touch. And so he joins me for my very first LinkedIn Live. That was great. We went like the full hour. And so this is going to be the unedited full stream. Keep in mind, obviously, this was done via video. It was a live. And so you'll hear us reference it, but I did my best to kind of read out comments, read out things that were on the screen to make it easier for the replay. So here you go. Enjoy. And if you want to catch these live, if you're on LinkedIn, also I'm pushing these to YouTube and to Facebook now. Thursdays at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. So every Thursday, 8 a.m. Pacific, doing LinkedIn lives with various guests, bringing people on, answering questions, talking about sales, marketing, leadership, strategies, also taking questions from anyone tuning in. So if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, or YouTube, please tune in Thursdays at 8. Here you go. Enjoy my conversation with Jarrett Thomas. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to LinkedIn Live Authentic Persuader Mode. So I am going to bring in my friend, Jarrett Thomas. Jarrett, good morning on the East Coast, still the morning. And, you know, West Coast here, 8 a.m. So good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, man. Good morning. It's always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. So I got access to LinkedIn Live and, you know, I was thinking, what should we talk about? Who should I talk with? And I was like, okay, let me start with Jarrett because we have a good conversation. You fill in that marketing content relationship stuff. And not from a debating standpoint, like it's opposing views. I know sometimes people are like, okay, let me bring on a guest and let's just like battle it out. No. Let's try to shift the way things are done and have some fun. So anybody watching this, please, you know, submit a comment, say hello, say where you're at. This is my first time doing a LinkedIn Live and we'll try to manage and monitor everything. We do have a bunch of questions people submitted beforehand. We also have a bunch of topics you and I came up with. Yeah. And so why don't you just, you know, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, just let the people know who Jarrett is.
Yeah, absolutely. So good morning, everybody out there. Thank you for joining. So my name is Jarrett Thomas. I'm a senior account executive at iPullRank. I've been about sales for about 11 years now. Done everything from display advertising. I worked at Cannes Lions. The big festival out in France every year. I worked there as one of their first American employees. I was a VP of marketing at 25 at an agency called Halo Group, and then bounced around from a lot of different SaaS platforms, from SEO to social listening, content creation, you name it. So it's basically I have a breadth of experience in a lot of different areas, and I'm just happy to be here with my friend Jason and happy to help you guys any way I can.
And I love it. And I totally forgot that you worked at Cannes and did all that stuff. I mean, I think that's amazing and fascinating. And fun. I love it. All right. So here's what the plan is. Obviously, this is focused around authentic persuasion. Anyone that's familiar with me, if you're not, I wrote a book called Selling with Authentic Persuasion. I'll be that guy. I'll put it up here.
There you go. Do it.
And really coming from my background of not having wanted to be in sales, not thinking I would be in sales, and then ending up in sales like at 27 years old and then, you know, making a run at it and even running away from it and then coming back. And then from seeing a lot of things out there in the world, people who could be successful in sales if they would embrace a different way of doing it versus what they think, right? What they see on TV, the boiler room, Wolf of Wall Street mode. And then where I wanted to bring Jarrett in, or bring you in, is to have this conversation because you fill in more the content and the marketing side, which it's usually the sales versus marketing instead of what it could be, which is marketing and sales, you know, for
They're intertwined, right? Sales is marketing. Marketing is sales, right? If you're a marketer, you should be selling product. You should know what the customer is thinking in order to better market to them. And if you're in sales, you have the opportunity to speak with the customer. So you should be feeding that information back into marketing to better, you know, help your clients and help your prospects. So, you know, I hate when they're separated. I hate when they're all the way across the room and I'm all the way over here. We have no meeting. Like, that should definitely change moving forward, you know, as we go into the, you know, to the new age.
Well, and that's where I'm really hopeful and I'm really excited by the emergence of this RevOps leadership title and role. Like Daryl Prale at VanillaSoft, you know, you got director of RevOps, you got the VP of RevOps, you know, you got these kind of positions where companies realize they need to tie everyone together, everything under revenue, instead of separating.
Totally. I actually wanted that before we actually get into it, man, you made a great point, because I think me and you talked about this offline. I don't think anybody wakes up and says they want to be a salesperson. I'm not sure who does that. Like, I know me personally, man, I never.
Gary V. That's who did it.
Yeah, that's he's probably the one exception.
Grant Cardone. Grant. Some people do. I mean, I can imagine somebody, you know, there are people who wake up and they've got their toys and they're selling it to their friends or their imaginary friends. And they're just like brokering deals on their toys. Like, I could totally see somebody doing that realizing I want to get into sales. And then they're like, I have this skill and I really like talking people into buying stuff. And, you know,
I just think it's less likely, as, you know, when we're growing up, hey, I want to be a basketball player, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. You know what I mean? Those type of titles. And it's like, you're not thinking like, hey, I'm going to be at sales and I'm going to work at digital marketing and I'm going to kill it. It's like, no, nobody's saying that. So I'm curious for you, man, being that we kind of both found our own paths, like, do you think sales is something that it could be coached? Like, say if it's something that's natural, or do you think it's something that can be coached over time? Because me personally, I think that sales is kind of like singing. It's like, you know, you can have a great voice, but, you know, you can sing, but you got to be born with Mariah Carey's voice. You know what I mean?
So what I think is that there's a different level that you could get to if it's not the natural fit, right? So there's people, let's say singing, Mariah Carey, top of the game, all-star, record hits, like, you know, rich and famous mode, right? And then there are singers who are levels below that and still very successful, very happy, have a great life, have a great career in singing, you know, maybe for a band or a group or at a club, like whatever that might be. Totally. And so I think that same thing is true for sales, right? So I think some people, they have this perfect storm, this perfect triangle of skills and talents and ability and charisma and no fear and that personality type. If you look at a DISC assessment and they're just in that quadrant that just makes it easy. They can tell stories. It's super effortless. And they've been doing it for a long time, right? So there's the basketball player who picks up the basketball when they're 25 for the first time. Okay, how far are they going to get? And then there's the basketball player, or, you know, Tiger Woods, 3 years old, putting and playing golf as a kid.
Exactly.
Okay, you put in your 10,000 hours, you're going to get there. You're going to get to a really good level. It might not be pro, but you'll get somewhere. I think the same thing is true with sales, which is why I wrote the book. And what I know for myself is I don't feel like I was born with any of that. And I don't think I could, you know, maybe I could be, but I, you know, I think there's people who sell at a much higher level and could do crazy stuff and Hall of Fame level salespeople.
Yeah.
And then there's, for the masses who fall into sales, they could, you know, make some success out of it.
Totally. Totally agree with you. I think that was the same thing for me personally. I was built with the charisma, I was a people's person. I could connect.
Yeah, you are.
I could build relationships and things like that. But my problem was, going into the game, I would just think sell. Like when I first started, you know, 21 years old, you give me a handshake, my business card is already in your pocket. You know what I mean? And it's like, what was I thinking? You know, but that was just how I was taught. But over time, you know, you learn, you fail, you bump your head, you know, you succeed, all those things, you hit quota, you try to think of new ways and new angles to hit quota. And then, to be honest with you, the best thing that's worked for me is just being honest and just really seeing the person like I would see you, same way me and you are talking, the same way I'm going to talk to my prospects.
Yeah.
And that's been working extremely well.
I think that's the key, right? Obviously, because, you know, I'm all about the authenticity and authentic persuasion, which is about that. Like, how do you show up? A lot of people, and I know it still happens, right? Nobody's going to be purely authentic and purely transparent. There's always going to be something, right? And I don't think that always is the case for people. But the more you can do that, the better it is and the easier it is, because a lot of people think they have to put on this business mask or the sales mask and this persona and they have to act. And it's fine. You can do that. But most people don't have the skill or the stamina to be an actor 8-9 hours a day outside of who they normally are, right? Like professional actors who do it for movies and TV shows, they can do it, but they're doing it in bursts and it's draining. And then they're doing it for, let's say, 3 months, and then they're turning it off and they get a break, right? They're not filming back to back. And so if you're in business or in sales and you feel like you have to act like somebody to be successful, like I need to act like, you know, this person to be successful in sales, then what happens is that wears off. It's tough to sustain. And I think honestly, people can detect it.
You hit the nail on the head.
Can sense it.
You hit the nail. That was my problem. I would try to be who the prospect wanted me to be. So I'd even have a phone voice, like, hey, good morning, and all that good stuff. And like, I'd try to be the nice guy. And it's like, that just doesn't work. You can smell the fluff, because instead of me thinking of how to solve your problem, I'm trying to think of ways I can say what you need to hear in order to make the deal close. Instead of thinking outside the box. So I'm just in this closed area. It's like, hey, you said this, and I'm gonna solve it this way and solve it this way. And now it's like, why am I doing that? To be honest with you, since the pandemic, this is how I show up to sales calls. This is exactly how I show up to sales calls. So hat on, you know, like, it is what it is, but this is me, right? And it's been times where I've been through a presentation, and then right after the call, I'm like, I don't like how that felt. This wasn't, this'll move the needle for you, but it won't be the solution that you need. And then, you know, this 10 years ago, I'd have never said something like that. I would just put the proposal at your desk and it'd been, hey, you know, and then right now I'm actually in late stages with that person. And to get even more money because of that realness and that authenticity is like, hey, Jared, you actually gave a damn. You know what I mean? You called me right after and told me this wasn't it. And this is the better solution. I appreciate that. So.
And I think that key difference for a lot of people is making the shift to long term. Yeah. And doing what's right for somebody, because when you do that and you play the long game, it actually works better and people will trust you. But when you're not focused on just how do I make this one deal happen, then it's totally different, right? It's understanding. Totally. And this is a tough one. Like, tell me how you address this or what you've seen with people. And we're not even on our question. I knew this was going to happen. I knew we weren't even going to get to our questions and topics. I have all these things. If anyone's watching this, I have all these things queued up and all these questions and topics for us to go over. And here we are 10 minutes in. And I think this is good. This is important stuff. But the balance, because this is what's interesting, is this is where I've seen it work and not work. And where I try to help people understand is there's a balance. So on one side, you have abundance, which is 7-8 billion people on the planet. How many do you really need? In fact, I have an exercise in the book that I've done with people forever, which is like, oh, is there enough clients? Do I need to like twist arms? Like, okay, let's calculate how many people you need. Yeah. To be successful as clients. And then what percentage of the population of your overall total addressable market is that, right? If there's 100 million people that could be your clients and you need two a day, which is the kind of the world I used to live in, two a day, three a day made you like a rock star. Yeah. That's over a 10-year career. That's still like a fraction of a percent. So there's abundance, which is, hey, I don't need to force you. Like your example, I don't need to force you to do it. I don't need to put the pressure on you. It's not about me. There's other fish in the sea versus the where people go sometimes with that is order taker mode, which is I'm not going to force you at all. I'm not going to put any pressure on you, whether you need it or not, because I'm going to say there's plenty of fish in the sea. And then they're dying, you know, alone and sad because they're not trying to move anything. Like, where do you see that balance?
It's crazy that you said that. There is a good balance. Like you said, as far as the long-term play, right? Like we all have to hit the sales quota. We all have to do our thing. But in terms of long-term, I think the best thing you can do is just, like you said, just be yourself. Like what I've been doing right now for this year. So to give you an instance, like I would always be trying to close people right out the gate. I'm always trying to just do yes, yes, yes. But the relationships I've built with people, and the thing we spoke about this offline is like, how do you... Some say you have to really know which sales you want and what is the benefit of that, right? Like, who do you sell and who not to sell, right? You have to know, it's like a poker thing. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, right? And, and it's a real thing, right? So it's like, for instance, my mentor was a VP of BET, right? Met him at Social Media Week. Could have been like, hey, I happen to be selling a social listening tool. Hey, sounds like a perfect fit, right? Did not ask him anything, right? And just said, hey, man, can we just chat? In turn, we end up having a conversation. He said, hey, man, I want to mentor you and I want to, you know, check out your progression. Now, from here, he's introduced me to so many different people, right? Now, say if I would have got that one sale, I could have maybe, what, $10,000, $20,000 on a contract, maybe would have gotten $500, $600 on a commission compared to a lifelong friend, right? So you guys have to balance that out, right, in terms of like who you're approaching, who you're attacking, who you're targeting. And I know that you guys are probably going to kill me for this. I know my boss, but I haven't made a cold call all year. My big thing is like, how do I create content to make my life easier in the sales process, right? Because I want my prospects coming to me. And if I'm my authentic self and you genuinely like me, it's going to be so much easier for us to do business. You're going to expect me to come into the meeting with the hat. You're going to expect me to say certain things and talk to you about content. You're going to expect a certain level of, you know, of expertise from me. And it just makes it so much easier. It opens up the game wide open. So what I've been seeing is just strictly that. Just be yourself, you know, just get to the problem and just be honest. Sometimes the things that the clients don't want to know, sometimes they'll be like, hey, Jared, I want to increase my sales by 17% or 70% in 6 months. Shit, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless you do X, Y, Z, and you set up that, and you set up the right parameters, you set up the right expectations, and it just makes for everything to be so much smoother. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I don't know if you saw that Shoshana, she put a comment and sent it over to us that said, just be you, which is perfect. As you're literally saying that, I put that on here.
Just be you.
You got to be you. And it's tough too, because there's always that balance, which is okay, but then, you know, you should dress nice or dress a certain way so that the clients have an expectation. And I think that's also fair. I mean, sometimes you've got to, you know, that you, this professional balance, if you're on, you know, let's say now it's Zoom calls, right? So let's just address the current world, not the past or the present or the future.
Yeah.
Is, you know, sometimes you just got to look professional, and that's what will help. And I think a lot of times where that balance comes in is how deep is the relationship? How good is the brand? And then also how good are you at what you're talking about? Right. I live in California, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area, you know, Silicon Valley ish, you know, in that area. And there's a lot of people who just look like they're, you know, homeless college kids, and they're like running these tech companies, and they're just like wizards and masters at what they do. And they can pull it off because, you know, they just know so much.
They know what they know. That's it. Yeah. That's old way thing. And I think it's who you're talking to. Who's your audience, right?
It is.
So if I'm speaking to a VP of marketing, this gentleman is 55 years old, lives in Wisconsin, I may take the hat off. You know what I mean?
I might
take the hat off depending where I am with the photo. To be honest, I may do it. But for me personally, it's just the stigma. For me, it's a personal thing, right? Like I'm from the Bronx, you know, didn't think I was going to be in sales, you know, and now it's at a point where I feel like I'm confident to have a conversation to hold my own in any sales and marketing conversation. So I'm going to be myself. And if you don't like me, it is what it is. There are other people. Somebody's going to gravitate towards my style, and that's the person I actually want to work with. You know what I mean? So it's a good way to kind of weed out who's serious and who's not. And as long as you're buttoned up, you did your research, you come prepared, you ask the right questions, you're going to be able to at least put yourself in a better position to close that deal. So it doesn't matter what you have on physically, right? It just, you know how to control the conversation, make sure you know energy, and make sure you have a good open dialogue. That's it. You know?
And one part that I think is fascinating, and this is where it's tough, and some companies can withstand this for the short term. Some companies can't with what I'm going to say, which is that really what I think is key is what kind of clients do you want? Which ones are you do well with your brand, and who do you want to work with? Do you want to work with someone that appreciates you, like Jarrett with the hat, from the Bronx, but you know your stuff, and you will make sure that they're successful and you care and you're a relational guy. Someone who, you know, they get on a Zoom call with you and they look at you, that guy from Wisconsin, and they're like, okay, who is this? Who is this idiot? And why didn't he dress up for this call? Right. Yeah. And then they get to know you and like, okay, this guy's brilliant. Or somebody who instantly is like, okay, if this guy's showing up like this, he must know his stuff and let me talk to him. And you're attracting those people and closing those deals. If someone's like, I would never do business with someone who wore a hat on a Zoom call, I'm going to guess they're going to be a pain in the ass once they become a client.
Exactly. Exactly. All money isn't good money. All money isn't good money. I learned, you know, I think all of us in sales had at least one deal that was pretty crappy in their life, right? Where it's like, damn, why did I even sign this guy up? And he's calling me after hours. He's giving the CS team a hard time. And it's like, why did I do it? Now you look like the overzealous sales guy that just got a signature, didn't make sense, and you're just hitting for your number, and it doesn't make sense. I want longevity. I want somebody who's going to stay with me for 18, 24 months, 36 months. And you don't do that unless, you know, you do like I said, you put the right things in place. You just be honest with each other up front. You don't want no surprises. Neither do I. as a salesperson.
And I think that's the key, right? It's that balance between closing any deal because you could, and doing sales long enough, or being on the back end or running a business, whether it's a VP or you own it, where you realize there's actually a balance between the right clients and ones that you want that will make for a successful client. And not just from a money standpoint, but from a happiness standpoint. Like, it's a square peg in a round hole, or they're just going to be a nightmare because they're high maintenance. And again, if you can pull this off as a salesperson or an organization in the short term, which means not necessarily closing every sale, then you have the hat on and you kind of put yourself out there as that authentic version of you, and it works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work, that's a great pre-filter. Again, some people can handle that. Some people, that works for them sales-wise. Some people, like, that wouldn't be good, and they need to get that momentum. So it also depends too, I think, on the life cycle. Like, I saw someone post it yesterday about, you know, business and what kind of clients you want. And then there's early adopters. And then there's like the crowd of, you know, regular people who buying in the buying cycle. And if you're in the early adopter mode where nobody knows your brand, your company, you're new, then you want the early adopters who are going to say yes to anything, and they're going to like that you're different and quirky whatever.
That's it. You hit the nail on the head. Yeah. Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So let's get to one of these. Let's see what happens. So I put up cold calling versus content. You were talking about that, how you haven't made a cold call. I guess maybe we should do speed round. Maybe I should start a stopwatch for these topics. But I don't know. My thought is on cold calling is, for a lot of people, it doesn't work. A lot of people, it's a rough way to start the conversation, and you're really losing ground, and you're giving ground to the other person who you're cold calling to, because now you're putting them in charge and in charge of your fate. Usually it ends up in a price reduction or terms or something, because you're essentially calling them trying to create a need, and then you're essentially begging them for a date, right? You're like begging them for the business.
Totally. So me personally, like, I prided myself in being a hunter my entire career. I was the guy that was going to make 100 dials, 200 dials. If whoever's staying at 6, I'm staying at 6:05 to make that last call. And I love the art of cold calling, right? I love the song and dance behind it. What do you say to keep somebody? How do you keep your attention? And me, as a relationship builder, how do I build a relationship with somebody who doesn't know me on the other end of the line? It's within 5 minutes. I used to love that, right? But as a 32-year-old man, Ralph, with two kids, that's working from home, I just don't have that patience to sit there and just make those 100 dials, because those days when you make 100 dials and you get nowhere, like, what happens, right? Now, my name is not out there. More prospects haven't seen me. I just called 100 people and they don't even know that's my number potentially.
Yeah.
Right? So what is the benefit of that when I could create content that could potentially get thousands of views and still hit that same target audience, right? And then in turn, I'm creating leverage for myself because I'm making myself more relatable. Even if you don't know me, you know me because you saw my post. You saw me saying something, whether you like the content, whether you not don't like it, right? The best sales are in the lurkers. The people, you know what I mean, that don't like your content.
So true.
And they're like, hey, you know, or you call them at one day, be like, hey, I actually saw your stuff, man. I love what you're doing, man. I'm like, damn it, you never liked anything.
I know. I had that happen a couple months ago.
Yeah, those are the best. And those are the best. So how do you create demand for yourself, right? So instead of you giving up your leverage and making that cold call, right? If you used to create content that's really valuable to your target audience, especially for sellers, you guys are on the phones with the customers, right? Proactively answer those questions through content. Proactively do it, right? So if you know your customers are asking about X, Y, and Z, create content that incorporates X, Y, Z and incorporates your personality. One is going to provide value for that customer, and it's going to be another way for you to differentiate yourself from every other person that's out there cold calling, right? If you cold call, you know, if somebody cold called me today, I'm like, okay, cool. But if I see you, Jason, I've been seeing you for 6-7 months, and you just hit me up on a DM, hey, Jared, man, love your stuff, man. I want to collaborate, or I want to do this, and I got an idea, I want to run past you. Sure. Because I know you, Jay. It's not a weird ask. You know what I mean? It's not weird. You've earned that. You've earned that ask because you've seen me and you put yourself out there. You just can't scale it the way you want to with cold calling, right? I've been on those that had Marketo. I used to do like 500 calls, have it on a list, doom, 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 doom. And it's just like, what happens after that? You know, if you don't get a meeting, then what? And then the one meeting you do get out of that, who's to say that's the deal that's going to close?
Yeah, 100%. And that's where I see those metrics in the cold calling world. And, you know, obviously in LinkedIn feed, you know, people talking about it where, I did my 100 dials today and I had a record, you know, day, and I set 6 appointments and set, okay, look, how many deals did you close, right? I don't really see too many of those posts bragging about how many deals they closed. It's about how many appointments they set and how many demos they set or how many, you know, conversations they had, which of course you got to do that, right? Those are the lead metrics, the lead measures, which lead to, you know, the end result, right? You've got to do it. You can't control results. You can only control activities.
Totally.
And is that getting you where you're going? And unfortunately what I see, and there's a lot of industries that do it, cold calling is really rough mentally on people.
It really is.
Sometimes you got to do it. You got to do some outreach, but just grinding on, you know, on the cold calls can be tough, especially these days where, you know, it's tough to get a hold of people.
It's so hard. It all, if you have a strong mindset, somebody who's very self-driven and somebody who's self-motivated, you don't need a lot to get going in a day, then that's the perfect opportunity for cold calling, right? But if you're somebody who's going to make 50 calls and you're like, oh man, I need to, who's going to pick up? And you start, you know, it always happens, right? We always think that before it's 50, call 50 or call 25. Like, why is anybody picking up? And you start thinking, yeah, are we doing anything differently? It's just, you know, it's tough out there, right? So you have to have that mindset. But if you would just put that same energy and effort into content, why would you not? Why would you not want to, especially when LinkedIn right now is only 2% of people are posting and the kind of content, the views and exposure you can get by far exceeds anything, any other social channel, right? I've gotten 50,000 views on a post that it was just talking about the retail apocalypse. Like, I don't even know. I'm not even in retail.
I had that happen with a friend of mine. He posted something. It was like work from, I think it was some like weird, like pop-up sheds that people were building. And he reposted this thing, this article. And I think it ended up with like 800,000 views. Oh, and just like he said, his LinkedIn was just basically shut down. He couldn't do anything with it for weeks. You know, where else you really going to get that in a business focus, which I think is important. But let's transition though, because here's the challenge most people face.
Okay.
Right. And we can go to it, which is what Kyle had brought up. Getting these LinkedIn conversations to discovery calls. So it's great. Like, I'm going to play the kind of the opposing side to you, which is it's great. Put content out there. I do it a lot. Anyone who looks in the feed, you know, I'm posting like crazy and doing even more. Gary Vemo is like, okay, how do I do even more? And that's great, except most people need to eat today, right? Totally. Like, you're talking about hunting versus farming. And we're saying on one side, don't do cold calls, do content, but you still need to close deals. And so how do you do that? Like, what would you say for someone who needs conversations this week in the right strategy?
Totally. So I think everything relies on the strategy, right? So say if you need, let's say, you know, you need 200,000 this year or whatever this quarter, right? Identify your ideal customer profile, whoever your ideal targets are. Maybe identify 20 to 30 brands, right? Then out of that 20 and 30 in brands, right, connect with people who is your ideal, you know, target, whether it's digital marketer, VP of marketing, CMO, CEO, right? Just connect. Do not make an ask, right? Look at their post. Look at their post. Go to view all activity and then do an audit on them, right? Look at what they're posting. What interests them? What doesn't interest them, right? Go into one of their comments. Add a witty comment, right? That's how you build the relationship. But if you just connect with somebody and just instantly pitch, you're back to the cold calling. You also gave up your leverage as the salesperson, right? Don't do it. So just connect. Just start building relationships. Comment on somebody. I might comment on somebody's post for 2 weeks before I actually make an ask. You know, and then when I make the ask, it's not weird because me and you've been commenting in public in the feed for the whole entire 2 weeks. So more than likely, you've already went to my profile, which more than likely what happens, you're going to look to see, hey, I'm at iPoolRank. You may say, what the hell is iPoolRank, right? So which in turn leads you to our website to look at our services, right? Because at the end of the day, I don't even know if you need my service. I don't know. I don't know if you need my service. So the best way I can do that is by looking at what you post, looking at what interests you, and then develop that relationship, right? And if you see what I'm doing, and if I stay top of mind and continue to stay top of mind, right? Don't make the ask and really just be genuine. There's been times I've just said what's up and just went about my day and it maybe came back a month ago and, you know, we started talking. Like one instance, I talked to the director of marketing at a big brand and he's actually my friend now, right? We actually talk and have conversations. We talk about the kids. He moved into a new house. I sent him a waffle maker, right? We have not done any business. We haven't done any business together, right? But you know what? If something does happen, who's going to be the first person to come to mind? Because I'm being myself. I'm being genuine, right? Some people are like, I don't want to send a goddamn waffle maker to a prospect. But sometimes you have to do it, right? But that's the way of me differentiating myself, right? So I think, wait, hold on. When you jump on LinkedIn, they will listen, watch you, read you.
Yeah.
That, perfect. You hit the nail on the head.
And I think, though, it's important because, yes, that's long term, right? And I know both sides of it because I know from my own business and when it's like, oh, man, I need some new clients or I need something happening, right? Because I've historically been a low volume, high intensity consultant. So I have one or two clients, but it's like deep. We're going deep. We're fixing lots of stuff. We're rebuilding sales teams. And then we're, you know, it's kind of this thing. But so there's times where you just need something now. And I think one of the big things, which you didn't touch on, but I think is super important, is to make sure your LinkedIn profile and your about speaks to the person that you're going after, such that ideally what you want is like any advertisement, almost like if you had sent them a letter or if they just saw some ad somewhere, they're reading your profile and they go, that is exactly what I need. This person is speaking to me and I can help that person. Like either they can help me.
I'd even challenge that, right? I don't say anything about what my about me is. I'm more than a sales quota.
Interesting.
More than a sales quota, right? I'm a father of two. I'm a podcast host. I'm not saying, hey, I know SEO, I know content, I know marketing. No, you're going to understand that through my content. You're going to understand my knowledge and my level of value that I can bring to the table through my content, right? Because even that's selling, right? It's like, hey, I can do this and that. And hey, I do this great thing. I'm still selling. Take that out of it, right? The less you sell, the more you sell. I've heard that
from what about somebody? But what about somebody who needs like business now, right?
Not
long term, but I need, like, I really want to start conversations that lead to something this week or next week, at least a discovery call.
Then you have to make the ask, right? Me personally, I choose not to make the ask, right? Sure. And that's what I've seen success with, right? So if you want to go into somebody's DM after you've had that conversation, you know when it's a good time or when it's appropriate to make the ask. Knowing when to make it is the key. Right. That's the key. So if you want, it's not a problem making the ask, but if you make it right out the gate, you connect with somebody like, hey, Johnny, I've got SEO services and this and that. I don't know you, Jared. I don't know you, Jason. First of all, you don't even know my problem, Jason. I actually just got a site audit last night. You don't know. You do not know. But sometimes you have to make the ask. Me personally, I just feel like it's such easier for me to, you know, to not make the ask. Right. Because all the content I'm creating, all the views I'm generating is also turning into inbound leads from the website. Right. Got so it. I'm also getting inbound leads because traffic is generating there. And I'm also generating my own through outbound efforts through DMs and things like that. Right. So I'm kind of getting from both ways. Right. I'm getting inbounds that come from LinkedIn. I'm getting outbounds that come from LinkedIn. And then I'm closing things immediately. And I'm also setting myself up for the long term with those specific prospects that I know that are enterprise brands or could be the 200, 300K deal. Sure. And that's how you do it. So you got to get some now. Like you said, you got to get the fish. It may not be the whale. Right. You get something now. But you got to make the ask if you want to do that. Me personally, I prefer to just create the content. I want you to come to me. I can show you guys DMs. I wish I had it teed up where it could be, you know, Jared, I just got budget just now. Just got approved. I got 65K. Let's talk on a call tomorrow. And how easy is that? Do I have to sell you? Absolutely not. It's just I have to get on the call and understand what your problem is and just come up with a solution to how me and the team is going to solve it. And it's so easier.
Yeah, and I'll skip over the detecting authenticity. We'll go back to that. But since you brought this up, it's that hunting and farming, right? So we talked about this the other night when we were, you know, kind of coming up with topics we wanted to cover is that, you know, one of the things is what you're talking about is farming. You're talking about long term. Yep. You're talking about planting seeds, building relationships, playing the long game, knowing that things will come later on. But it's like farming, right? You don't plant an apple seed because you need to eat this afternoon or you need to eat Friday, right? That's like you're talking years before you're going to get anything good from that. Which is fine if you can make it. The thing is most people need to eat. So they got to hunt today. They got to eat today because they might not make it till when the farm is grown and you've got some produce. So I think that's always the balance, right? So you've got to do both. I think you've got to think, you know, I say, and what I tell people is you've got to think like a farmer, act like a hunter. So right now you're acting like a hunter. You got to do some stuff, but you're thinking long-term, you're thinking relationships, you're thinking content, you're thinking this. And, you know, also when the time is right, you're moving stuff forward.
That's it. That's it, man. I definitely totally get that everybody has to eat today, right? But at the same time, the long term, build your foundation correctly, right? Brick by brick by brick, post by post by post. And then it is going to come to you, right? I used to always hear all the LinkedIn gurus like, hey, you do 6 months and it's going to come. I was at 6 months in one day and I'm like, where the hell's my business? Where's my business? Where's my business? It just doesn't work like that. Everybody works differently, right? The process works differently for everybody, right? Just for me personally, you know, I think how you are offline also attributes to how you do on social media, right? Like, yeah. if you're a jerk in real life, right, nobody's going to support you online. It's the same things, right? And so I'm just fortunate enough to have a lot of different friends, and I get a ton of likes on things. And you would think I'm this, you know, thought leader and things like that, which I am, you know what I mean? I have value, but I'm not. I'm just a regular guy from the Bronx. I'm doing sales just like everybody else. But yeah. In turn, me thinking long term, I'm end up close to $1 million without making a cold call. Yeah. Have not made a cold call, and I'm close to $1 million in revenue through a pandemic. So if that doesn't get the wheels turning for you sellers at home, like, I have not been, you know, hard for business. Maybe from March to June, it got really rough when I lost all my business. It was just like everything was on my pipeline. Was like the last.
I remember that.
And it just fumed. And I'm like, oh my God, I had 400K late stage. And they're like, Jared, I love you, man, but can I call you when we get back to the normal? I'm like, I don't know when normal is. Ah.
And that's what I remember that too, because that's when we recorded for the podcast when you were a guest, and it was just happening, and you were, you know, like everyone else, your clients were just locking up and freaking out.
And then
you know, you just play the long game, you know, you gotta be able to make it, and that's the challenge, right? Some people just can't make it. So let's talk about detecting authenticity.
Yeah.
And this topic, what this means, and it goes back to something you said a few minutes ago, is that instant sales pitch, and this is what I also see a lot, which is, okay, I know I've got to do this many touches. I know I've got to interact. I just sent you a connection request, and then I'm going to go through and like some of your posts and add some comments and then endorse you for sales training and then play the game, because that's the formula, because that's what I've been taught, and then hit you, right?
Yeah.
I can still, I see that, and it's like, okay, that's not real. Like, I know what you're doing.
Exactly. Some people, they're going to detect that, right? Sometimes it's just hop in the DM and just be honest sometimes too, but you just can't do it instantly, right? Sometimes people are like, hey, how are you today? He's like, all right, here comes the sales pitch, right? Yeah. So then it's the balance of, do I just say, hey, and just go right into it, or do I not, right? What I found that's been working for me, right? I actually just been doing videos. I just do a quick video. Hey, John, or hey, Jason, it's nice to meet you, man. Thank you for connecting. Just seen a couple of your posts, man. Saw that you're in digital marketing, XYZ. I do the same, man. If any way I can help you, just let me know and let's just chat. Just simple. Yeah. I don't even, you know, I don't go hard with a hard pitch. It's a very soft pitch. It's just like, hey, you want to talk, man? Let's talk. They respond, and then we just start to having a conversation. I don't even go into, hey, do you have time at 11 o'clock tomorrow? No,
it will come. When can we set up 15 minutes where we can talk about your business and how I can get you 30 more leads a day?
No,
that doesn't. Yeah,
it doesn't work. The worst people at that are Forex people and recruiters.
Yeah.
Forex and
it's
recruiters.
Funny. I don't get the recruiters. I get, because, you know, I'm a consultant and own and have my business, right? So I'm listed under that.
Yep.
Then I get all the people who want to sell me, you know, 30 leads a week. Yeah. Or help me get 30 leads a week on LinkedIn, 30 appointments. And I'm always laughing because it's like, how do you know that's even what I want? I could be at capacity and that would completely be a waste because I'm never going to get to it. And then to your point about the video, go ahead.
But before you go, I'm going to say that's BS too, because if they come to you saying they could get you 30 leads a day, then you wouldn't be in my DM saying you could get 30 leads a day. 30 leads would be coming to you and I'd be coming to you for business.
Well, and they're in the business of helping people get
but if you can get 30 leads, you can
get new business, right? Like, they're selling, it's the people, you know, the get rich quick people who are making money getting rich off the people who buy their get rich package, right? Yeah. Versus, you know, actually having something they've done. And Ilya talking about that again, you know, about people coming on one. But what I'll say for people too, that I also suggest that I found works better for me, because a lot of times, not that I'm not camera ready, because I don't care so much, but doing it on my phone, and like, sometimes my phone is unhappy with the video and uploading it and it freaks out. I do a lot of voice messages. It's super easy. And I recommend that to people as well. If they don't want to be video, if they're fine with audio, even that blows people away. And I leave messages. And what I say to people is, you know, hey, it's great to connect with you. Let me know what you're here for. Let me know why you're on LinkedIn, because everyone is on LinkedIn for a reason. We're here for business.
Yeah.
We're here for something. Let me know how I can support you. Is there something you're looking for? Content? Is there connections you're looking for? Let me know if I can introduce you to somebody. Just let me know why you're here. and what I can do to support you.
I would even shorten that. Somebody told me, a good friend of mine once told me this, right? And it worked. I've seen it work time and time again, right? So his name is Jonathan Roosevelt. Shout out to Jonathan, man. So he would make a cold call, right? And just like, hey, Mr. Merchant, it's Jonathan. Call me back when you get a chance. Call me back when it was so simple. And he didn't say anything because Jonathan Rosenfeld could be anybody, right? It could be a lawyer, it could be a business, it could be anything. So you're going to get that call back. And I thought that was genius. It's like, why even pitch him the damn in the voicemail, right? Hey, it's Jason, you know, call me back. We'd love to chat with you.
This is the voice message over LinkedIn. And I completely agree with you. Like, because then if you leave that kind of cold calling voicemail, like over the phone, then you're hoping you're saying the right thing and you're going to get them to call. And then you're basically letting them decide your fate versus something else. But like you said, I think if you truly want to separate yourself on LinkedIn, then video message when you're connecting or chatting with someone, a voice message, because you can't automate that and you can't do that at scale where it's real. I mean, you honestly could automate it and you honestly could do it at scale. Yeah. But it wouldn't be personalized. And so when you personalize it, hey, John, I was looking through your profile. I really like the stuff that you did. Let me know how I can support you on LinkedIn. We're here for business. Let me know if you want help on any of your posts. You know, send me a DM with a post and I'd be happy to check it out and support you if you want some more engagement. Perfect. Boom. Have a great day. Done. Perfect. I've done that so many times where people listen to that and go, A, I didn't know that was a feature. And then B, like, dude, that's so different than everybody else.
Exactly. You differentiate yourself, man. That's the perfect way to do it, man. I actually did that to Jerome Bettis, the football player. I literally during COVID, man, and shout out to him. He's a good guy. He was actually going to send his COVID test to the neighborhood when everything was at the height. So he's a good dude. But I told him he made a post. And it was like some long ass paragraph. It was like, I'm like, man, you got to space out your stuff, man. You got to add some emojis and come on, bus, get it going, man. And he said, thank you. I'm like, what the, you know, but who knows? I'm just throwing that out. I thought that was a really cool story. But like you said, man, just help for free. All right. And who knows? And then now Jerome Bett is a Hall of Famer, knows my name, and I could maybe make an ask one day.
Yeah.
So, you know, just think about that, guys. As far as detecting authenticity, right? You said, you know, just don't be the guy that has the too good of a story, right? I'm a storyteller myself, right? And one of the best posts I ever created was me telling how I got over, how I overcame, you know, how I first got in sales, right? So I was a waiter, I was at BBQs, I was at Starbucks, I was up on Indeed, my son was 2 years old. I'm like, something has to be better than this. And I put out applications and then I end up getting my first sales job. And we go around the room and we're like, hey, I'm from NYU, I'm from this one. And I'm like, I'm Jared Thomas from the Bronx, from Evander Childs High School. And I'm gonna be a top rep here, true story. And I put that up there and then it took off. It got like 10,000-15,000 views, right? But that's real, that's relatable, right? And in turn, it makes you understand who I am as a person and may make you want to do business with me, right? But if you're the guy that's like, hey, my kid did this and you know what I mean? It's like it was just too good of a story. You know what I'm talking about. I see it all the time where it's like, hey, it's just crazy, right? The stories are just outrageous. Just be yourself. You don't have to add fluff, right? But we all go through the same things. Be the guy that's relatable or be the person or the woman that's relatable, right? Don't just add some fluff just to add some fluff to get some likes because we can detect that. And then we're going to say, all right, that's BS and all that other stuff, man. People just want real authenticity, right? I put up another one. I had a meeting at 8:00 at night. Some lady, she actually no-showed on me, right? I put it up and got 120 likes of like, don't no-show me. I hate it. It's a pet peeve of mine.
I remember. I commented on that too. Yeah. Like, you know, it was evening for me as well, Pacific time.
And you know what's funny about that? I just closed that person on Tuesday.
Nice.
Just closed that person on Tuesday. And they you know what? In turn, prospects I'm speaking with, I actually had another person who saw that post, who liked it. They had to reschedule, but it was like 15 minutes late. They're like, I'm so sorry, Jared. Isn't it third?
Well, and what it comes down to on that specific topic, and then I want to put something on the screen here in a second, but your topic was that you basically got ghosted, if you will. Somebody no-called, no-showed for an appointment, which is life. It happens. You and I are both very empathetic. We're both, you know, understanding that, you know, things happen to people. And the challenge was it was like an evening thing. It was like 6 or 7 p.m. your time. Yep. And so it's like out of the norm, away from your family. Like normally when you're doing your thing, right? Yep. Like we talked the other night at what, 7? It was like 6:30 Pacific, like after you had put your kid to bed and you like had your alone time. But so somebody had scheduled this thing and then didn't show up when you made an exception for them. And then that's where the rub is. Like, I'm going to make a special deal for you and then you don't show up. Like, I've done that. I've had calls 6 a.m. Pacific time. 6 a.m. because somebody's East Coast. It's 9 a.m. for them. They can only do it at then. I'm like, okay, I'm not awake. I probably can't talk, but I will do it. I will get up at 5:30 and I'll be there. No call, no show. And it's like, that sucks.
Yeah, right? It does. Right. But then, but the point of that is, right, how many people are going to put that up there? Because they're going to be ashamed or maybe afraid that somebody else may see it. But in turn, we've all been through it. We've all been there. That's something that's more relatable than something else. If that's more valuable, to be like, hey, damn it, Jared, I just had that yesterday too, man. Now I like you or I understand you, man. Let me just like that. So think about those.
And life happens. And the biggest thing I tell people, because people, you know, cancel on me or we have to reschedule stuff, especially podcast things. Yeah. And I do that, you know, at times because something comes up or something's happening. Just be empathetic and understanding, right? Enough times. If somebody's habitually doing that, the same person, then that's an issue. Yeah, but I wanted to show this because it's super funny. And I want to shout out Colin Mitchell, who's awesome, dude. Anybody, make sure to check him out. He has a great podcast, a great show. And it's so funny I don't know why. But I just had a feeling as soon as I saw this, it had to be Colin saying this, like, don't tell everyone to use this thing. You know, the thing is, though, is, you know, obviously I know Colin is joking and would love to shift and get people to, you know, not be terrible on LinkedIn because we talk about it as well, is, you know, you can't super automate and scale that. And it's still personal. And here's the thing, right? And this is what's true with life, which is good and sad, is we could both say everything, right? That's why, like, I talk about everything in the book, right? Like, I don't say I won't, you know, if you want to learn how to do this, go buy the book. Like, I give you all the info because most people aren't going to use it, right? Most people aren't going to do anything. We could scream from the top of the mountain, say, everyone do voice messages.
Yeah.
Most people aren't going to do it, right?
They're not going to do it. And some people are going to cut corners. Yeah. Some people are going to get lazy. Some people are going to go get bomb or I forgot the other tool that they use. It's on the top of my head, but BombBomb is another one where you can basically just do all those, scale it. You can maybe send out 2,200 voice messages or video messages, but it's not going to be personalized, like you said, right? I'd rather take 20, 30 minutes out of my day, just 30 seconds on my phone and just send it out to those 10 people. And if I get two hits out of that, that means more to me than that 200 I would have sent and possibly gotten. Quality over quantity, guys.
All right, so let's go back to Kyle's question because I know this one is super important, especially with a lot of coaches and consultants and people I deal with, which is moving that conversation forward. So what do you see as a good transition? So you're chatting, right? Direct message or, you know, there's engagement on posts. Let's say it's not even at a chat phase, right? You're not even talking, but it's just this engagement and comments back and forth on posts. Yeah. And it seems like it's a good fit. I know I can help you. I'm a coach. I know that I can help you. What do you see as a good, authentic way to then move that conversation into a discovery call?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I wouldn't do it to anybody cold, right? Most of the people that I engage with or do business with are the people who are already engaging with my post.
Right, and that's what I mean. They're at that phase where you're engaging back and forth, but there's no like DM, like chat thing going on. It's just engagement, some kind of relationship on a post level.
Yeah. So if you liked 3, 4, 5 of my posts, I'm going to send you that video message and tell you thank you. And then for the most part, right, if there is somebody who always shows up to your post, if you make that ask and make the call, then you're going to know what's up already, right? All I don't have to do is just do some additional research. There's been times where you liked 5 of my posts, right? And I went on SEMrush and I see that your traffic dropped significantly over the past 2 months, right? And I just send you a screenshot. Hey man, you seeing this, man? I don't know if you're paying attention to this, but this is what's up, man. I would do X, Y, Z. Don't make it, hey, Jared, let's talk about it in 10 minutes. Or let's talk about it tomorrow at 11 o'clock, right? Because I'm not making the hard ask, right? I did a little research. You see, I did my due diligence, right? To understand what your problem is, kind of, because I still don't know what your true challenge is. I don't know what your bandwidth is. I don't know what your marketing team looks like. I don't know how much budget you have. I don't know any of these things, right? So once again, and just like you said, once you engage with me, I'm going to send you the video. We're going to just have conversation, have that dialogue. I'm going to do my research and send you something. And if it makes sense, it makes sense. But for the most part, if you stay active on LinkedIn, people are going to reach out to you. That's what you want. You want it to be the point where people reach out to you for discovery calls. Does it happen every day? Absolutely not. But when it does happen, your likelihood of closing that deal is exponential from you maybe reaching out to that one person you don't know. You're like, hey, I just need a discovery call today. Right.
Yep.
So it's still like the long game is still kind of balancing both. If you can make that ask right away, you know, when it's like it's like dating, right? You know when to, you know, can we go out for another date?
Hopefully.
Do this? Yeah, I would hope so.
Hopefully.
I would hope you know that, but it's something like
And using that as an example, there's some people who just go too aggressive, which is like, let's exactly. do this again. Let's go. Let's, you know, let's yeah. move it. Like they're either from a desperate standpoint or just overly like aggressive in their dating relationship strategy, just doing it that way. And that could work if it's matched up with the right person who's like, yeah, I'm intense and let's go 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It probably isn't going to work with most people. And then there's the order taker end of the spectrum, which is like, you know, hey, that was a nice time. You know, let me know if you're interested. Like, and then they just leave it and it's a little too soft. And I think one of the things that you said, which is great, you know, that you talked about showing somebody a screenshot of what's going on with their traffic, just so they're aware, because they might not be, and not in a sales pitch. Like if I show them this, they're going to see it. Then they're going to ask me. You're doing it from a, like, you might not even know this exists. Most people, especially web traffic, they have no idea. They're not watching it. They're just throwing darts at a dartboard. They're just hoping. I know that. It's what I do. Yeah. I know that. So I know they're missing that. And so for you're just providing a value. And depending on what it is, like if we talk about Kyle, right? So Kyle, I know, does coaching, helps businesses, especially family-run businesses, help them, you know, optimize performance and work on culture, work on their teams. And so obviously, can't show them a website of their or a snapshot of their web traffic. So maybe it's some kind of information or some kind of webinar about team culture, something he did, and be like, hey, I'm just thinking about you. This might be a good fit. No strings attached. Here's just some value. Here's something cool. I think it's good. And then I think what's interesting too, we go to what you talked about, you know, Alex Sheridan, who's the one that connected us and how we met.
Alex,
he did that thing, man. Alex is a video dude, and to see his progression over the last like, let's say 6 months, 12 months maybe,
crazy.
It's just amazing. Like he's just built this thing and he's got this tribe now, and it's so amazing to watch. It's fun. But I remember, like, he posted something, I commented on it because it was one of the best videos I've ever seen in my life. It was the rap battle between sales and marketing. I still remember it, right? It's the best thing ever because it's so true. It's so funny. Then he sends me that we connect. He sends me a video message, not good video, from his phone, like sitting on his bed at like 11 o'clock at night, like totally anti-pro video. And he's like, hey, I do videos. Thanks for liking that. Let me know. And then like literally we were on a call 2 days later, and then, you know, I hired him for some help, and he wasn't trying, but it was also like, he had something that was great and I had a need, which is my videos suck, and could be better. And so sometimes it's just this, you know, this
that's
fit. So you also have to be present, right? You have to be present.
That's what quality content does. That's why I tell people to focus on the content. You see how it made the sales process so much easier. Now all I have to do is send you a video, because now you like the video, you admire my work. And then you have a need, and you're coming to me specifically with that need. It just makes everything easier. Like if I was Kyle and I'm doing like you said, you're helping family run businesses, I would be creating content behind the scenes and showing how I build culture, right? Maybe some happy clients, maybe some things behind the scenes. What can you do to differentiate? Because how do you sell that, right? How do you sell that I can run your culture and run your sales team? You know what? You don't sell it. You show them.
Yep.
You show them. 100%. And it's how you show them is what's going to expedite your sales process or not, right? If your video is really good, it could take a day or two. If it's kind of crappy, it may take a month, right? Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say mine take a month because my videos aren't that great, but I'm learning. I'm getting better, and I'm always willing to learn, and I'm always willing to get better. Or I'll just stick to audio and just do more podcasts. Instead of 5 days a week, maybe I'll just do 10 episodes a week of podcasts and stick in my lane. So, all right. So I wanted to address this question. So this is from Matt Ward, the master at referrals and relationship building, word of mouth, especially for service-based business. So shout out to Matt if he's watching this. Yeah. If you are looking for referrals for your service-based business, definitely check out Matt. He's got a bunch of cool programs and things online. But where Matt sees one of the issues, especially with a lot of people in service-based business and clients, is getting to the sale, like making the actual deal happen. So it's one thing, cool, marketing, great, ended up in a phone call. That's fantastic. Now what? Which is where, like, you know, where I focus a lot of my effort on, which is people who are order takers. So they're afraid of asking for the sale, or they feel like they're supposed to ask for the sale, or they feel like the only way to be successful is to be that manipulator, boiler room, Wolf of Wall Street person and really be a shark and go after it. But that doesn't feel right. It's not congruent with who they are. So they end up being an order taker and hoping that people buy because they just don't they just don't know how to do it effectively, which is obviously why I wrote my book. Totally. Why I do the coaching and consulting I do. And I think really the big key and the advice on this for people watching is to make that shift in your mind to see yourself as a professional, even though there is no profession of sales, there's no certificate, there's no governing body in the world. There's nobody keeping salespeople in check like there are doctors or lawyers. Yeah, totally. Like salespeople just do whatever the hell they want. They show up one day and then just say whatever they want. And if their company doesn't, slap them on the hand for it, they just keep saying, bad stuff and do whatever they want. And so what happens is that people just don't know how to be a professional, what it means. But my advice, the simplest advice, is just focus on it being your duty and responsibility. If somebody has problem X and you have solution X, you owe it to them to help them. And what I always do, and I don't know if you do this, but what I do in my mind and what I help people do is, what's the worst case scenario if they don't buy? Let's say they have a problem. Let's take your advice or your scenario, right? The guy that you said has a business, their traffic is down 5 times what it used to be. And like in my mind, I play that out, which is if I'm Jared and I don't sell you my services when the time is right in the relationship, if I don't get you to say yes, and I could, you're going to not have web traffic, which means you're probably not going to have leads, which means you're probably not going to have revenue, which means you're going to have to let people go. You might lose your business. You might end up like divorced. Homeless, under a bridge. Like everything in my brain always ends up to like someone ending up under a bridge because things fall apart in this house of cards. But it's true, right?
You're right.
Where this came from is when I started in sales, like after I was in the mortgage business, I was literally helping people who were in foreclosure avoid losing their homes. And if they didn't let me help them, if they didn't hire me, if you will, to help them and agree with me, literally the next stop was homeless. Right? The next stop was the sheriff kicking you out of your own house. And so my brain always goes to that. I mean, where do you see that, or where do you come from in your selling?
No, I agree with you 100%, right? But I think what separates us from a lot of salespeople, what some salespeople do, they don't want to have that conversation with the prospect. Mm-hmm. Whether they're too afraid to, it's too honest, whatever the case may be, we just want to get the sale right then and there, right? But if we do those necessary things and we have that real transparent conversation with our prospect, we know if we're going to get the sale or not. Sometimes I don't even have to make the ask. It's like, we're dancing, ain't we? We're going to do this, right? Because I already know your problem, right? So you're going to go to some other salesperson and speak for another hour or two when I already identified your problem and a solution. And we've already had the relationship. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, you're not going to get any surprises. Why not, right? So just be honest with the prospect. If you got, if you drop your traffic drop by 5%, if you don't do additional keyword research, if you don't understand what your market opportunity is, how can you better understand or create content or better drive more leads, right? How can you create content if you know who your audience is, right? Things like that. Like, and these are the type of services we provide and sell. But, like I said, once I get to a certain point where I know where you are, some things I used to ask was, who else are you talking to about, these services? I used to always ask that, right? And I was always trained to ask that. I don't ask that anymore. I don't ask that at all because, quite frankly, I don't give a damn who you're speaking with.
Okay.
If I do my job properly, that's not even a question. Confident or doesn't really know their solution or doesn't know, the buyer's problem. If I hit the home run, then what are we talking about, right? We already scored. We're going home and we're going to win the championship, guys. So, let's do it, right? It's a bad sports analogy, but you know what I mean? Like, that's really what it is, right? Make sure you understand every single challenge. Ask the hard questions. Ask, what's the budget? What's the ballpark budget? What is your final budget? What happens if I sell this to you and it goes south? What if it goes north? What if it goes, you know what I mean? What are these things, right? And that's how you get a true champion, and the true champion is going to make sure you get that deal.
Yeah, and I agree, and I love it. And what you said, it was so subtle, and you flew past it, which is the, we're dancing, right? Which is the, I'm going to assume that I have the solution and you're going to come with me, right? And you just take them there, and you're doing it from a place of duty and responsibility, not high pressure tactics, not desperation, not I need to hit my quota or I need to make money or, I want to make bank, bro, right? Like, it's not coming from that perspective. It's like, I just know what could happen to you if you don't. And it could be B2B, right? You could be selling like yourself. Like, it's like you could be marketing to a marketing manager, director of marketing, right? So the company might not go under, but they might lose their job. Something might happen. They might not be performing. You just never know. And I think that works for anything you're selling when you shift to the duty and responsibility part of being a professional. If that's how you want to be, then that's what you're going
to
do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you, brother.
Love it. All right. So let's wrap things up here. So,
That hour went by. So I didn't realize it was 58.
I know, man. It's jamming. I think I might need to do is just a marathon and just people come and go. But, all right. So, Mr. Jarrett, so obviously here's one thing, you know, for people watching that I know is true. And I think is fascinating about Jarrett. And I've really taken this into my practice, into my heart since chatting with you the first time, is that you're only on LinkedIn. Like that's it. Like you're 100%, like not LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all these things and doing what you think, you know, needs to do. And some people can pull that off really well, but you're all in on LinkedIn.
That's it. Because there's no other place I can get that organic reach. And that's the main reason, right? I'm starting to do little things like I'm promoting the podcast now on Instagram and Facebook. Now my family, I got cousins texting me out of nowhere. Like, hey, Jared, I've seen you. I'm like, all right, cool, man. But that's what that's for, right? But for business-wise, it's strictly LinkedIn, right? Because I want to build the brand there. I want to be able to connect with my customers. And that's where my customers are, very simply, right? Yeah. They're going to have a different mindset on Facebook. They have a different mindset on Instagram, but the mindset they have on LinkedIn, I know what it is, right? I know you're looking for a source of information. I know you're looking for a solution potentially. And I have to stay top of mind. I have to be the billboard every day as you're driving. And it's going to get to the point where you're like, damn, who is that guy? Right. Maybe I should call him. That's it.
He's like, I got to call him. So make sure everyone watching this, check out Jarrett, connect with him. Obviously, super relational guy. He won't give you the instant sales pitch. No, he's got lots of great content.
Guys. Just, you know,
he'll help you. If you haven't picked it up by now in 59 minutes and 40 seconds, you know, he's as real as it gets. So I appreciate that. Jarrett, thanks for coming on, being my first partner in crime on my first LinkedIn Live. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing all the success, man. You know, looking forward to see episode 2 and who you get on here, man. But like I said, it's always a pleasure connecting, brother. If you haven't, make sure you guys go get the book. Make sure you listen to the podcast. Yes,
we didn't even set that up.
I've got my shirt on too. I should have my shirts right there. I just had to be larger. She's like, damn it. Just had my But make sure you buy the book. It's an excellent read, guys. You know, I love Jason's perspective on sales, and I love having these conversations, right? Because he totally gets it, right? The hunting versus farming, what you should be doing, guys. Just simplify the sales process. And if you can do that for your prospects and for yourself, your life is going to be so much easier.
That's it. Mic drop. Done. Jarrett, thanks. Everyone all watching, right, appreciate you. Thanks for the comments, everybody. And I'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do 2 things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.